pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, page 1207 in your Bible. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
Ken Hawk, the founder of Stephen Ministry, recalls, "While in graduate school, I taught an introductory college course at a community center. All my students were African American. In fact, almost everyone connected with the community center was black. From the time I arrived at the center until I returned home, I rarely saw another white person. Going to the classroom one evening, I saw a security guard coming up the stairs toward me. He was white. My immediate response was a friendly, 'Hello.' He responded in kind. After we passed, I wondered about my enthusiastic greeting. The reason for it, and probably his as well, was that we were both Caucasian, surrounded by people who were not. Such behavior based on color indicates that there is a certain commonality or community transcending any previous contact or lack of it. There is a certain shared experience in being white, as there is a certain shared experience in being black." Talking about race is often uncomfortable. And hearing about this experience of Dr. Ken Hawk, whose writings I have read for years and years, is no different. But it's true to say we're drawn to people with whom we share common background or experiences. Common background and experiences might have been a challenge for Jesus to find someone with a common background or experience. For the Son of God was unique. And here in Hebrews 5, we've just heard Bill read to us a very unique description of who Jesus was. Listen again. "Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek." He was designated by God to be high priest, son though he was. Did you hear that? Please be warned that the following newsy article is dripping with sarcasm. Dateline, Riverside, California, a church recently came up with an idea to make sure church members who display the congregation's bumper sticker are representing Christ well. Church deacons now administer a comprehensive driver's exam before allowing anyone to slap the church sticker on their car. We make sure church members know how to use their blinkers, merge with plenty of room, and drive the appropriate speed. Said Pastor Jake, churches that just hand out bumper stickers willy-nilly aren't doing their due diligence to ensure that the church's name isn't dragged through the mud by horrible drivers. Uh-huh. You get the sarcasm of that? And it goes on and says, the church says their pass rate is fairly low. Only about 10% of church members make the cut. So we have lots of regular attendees, and we're happy to preach to them and love them, but they just haven't gotten the bumper sticker level yet. Sometimes I can feel lonely being a Christian. And maybe you have felt that way too. It happens in odd settings, sometimes even in church. If you have ever traveled to a country where you didn't speak the language, you know what I mean. You know, when you find folks to help a lost American who can't speak the language, it gives you a good feeling. I once asked a woman on the street in Cairo for help finding a restaurant. She couldn't read the English alphabet address I had written down on a piece of paper, but she could read the phone number, the numerals for the restaurant, so she called it on her cell phone to get directions. We learned that the restaurant was at least 20 blocks away, and so a little boy about 7 or 8 years old took us to the nearest subway station. These people did not speak English. I had never met them in my life, and yet they were very helpful and kind. A small percentage of the Egyptian population are Christians, maybe 10%. I remember riding the subway in Egypt and standing next to me. No one sits on the Cairo subway because about 2 million people ride it every day. 2 million people. That's more people than are in Allegheny County, I think. There was a young man wearing a T-shirt with the words, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God?" The words from the prophet Micah. I don't know for sure if he was a Christian, but to wear a shirt with those words made me think that someone half my age, standing next to me in a crowded subway, was a brother in Christ. I felt something in common with this young man that I hadn't felt in general on the streets of Cairo. What we have in common here at Kenmare and across the country and around the world is our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Galatians, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Why did Paul write that? Because we don't find our common ground in our background or our ethnicity. We have come from East and from West. We have backgrounds that are Italian or Hungarian or German or Korean. And that's not why we're here today. It's not because we have similar educational levels or political views or social standing. We aren't alike. We don't think alike or even believe alike. But we are here because we share this one trait. We all profess faith in Jesus Christ. We are united through our baptism in the name of the triune God, and we are one as we gather in this place for word and sacrament. We are one in Christ. Tom Long, who used to teach preaching at Princeton Seminary, situates this passage that we read today in a sequence of thought that began in Hebrews 4, the passage that we looked at last Sunday. "So hanging in the air of the sanctuary," Tom Long writes, is the preacher's ringing claim that Jesus is the kind of great high priest who carries our deepest sorrows and most honest prayers to the very throne room of heaven, where we will find a banquet of mercy and grace. But the preacher knows that he is on marshy ground here, that this is the crucial theological and pastoral issue for his or her congregation. They know without a doubt that Jesus was weak. Anyone with eyes to see could know that. But is Jesus also genuinely strong enough to help? They are aware that Jesus was a fellow sufferer. Every passerby who looked up at the cross could see that. But the question for them was whether this weak and suffering Jesus is also truly the divine Son of God in ways that eyes cannot see. That he stands in graceful glow at the beginning and the end of time, and in the middle of time is even now redeeming the creation and bringing the children of God home. Jesus was not born into a priestly family. The very first priest of God Most High was Melchizedek. Yet God has chosen Jesus, designated him to fill the space as mediator between God and humanity. High priests in Hebrew religious practice offered sacrifices for the unintentional sins of the people, but not for the people only, for their own sins. As humans, they could understand and deal gently with the mistakes and failures of others. Jesus, as a, quote, weak human being, as verse 2 talks of the priest, was equipped to understand human creatures. And Jesus, as God's Son, his chief representative, is equipped to forgive us human creatures. The Cairo, I don't know if you've ever seen that in writing or maybe on a church steeple. A Cairo in the Greek is the abbreviation for the Greek word Christ. In English, it looks like a big X and a P, but it's a Greek, chi and rho, is what those letters are for. In our scripture this morning, we see that the word of God is centered in Cairo, in Christ. As Christians, our real center, our unity, is in the Lord, Jesus Christ. The unity of the entire Bible is found in Christ. The Old Testament points forward to Christ, the Messiah who would bear the sins of the world and be put to death. And in Hebrews 5, the writer of that book goes back to the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament, to find a type of Christ in a king and priest of Salem named Melchizedek. He used those Bible passages to explain his message. It's technically called a midrash, the Bible interpreting itself by using other Bible passages. We Presbyterians use the same principle interpreting our Bible. We do not have one authority designated to interpret the Bible for us. Not a pope, not bishops or professors of the church, not church governing bodies, not even biblical scholars. All of these can offer insights, but stand under the authority of Scripture, not above it. Nor do we hold to a doctrine of individual discernment and judgment. The Bible is not subject to the ideas and ideals of any one individual. Thomas Jefferson tried that. He tried to expunge the Bible of all the parts that he disagreed with to construct a Jesus that was acceptable and in whom he could believe. He literally cut those pages out of his Bible, so historians say. Just because we don't understand or don't like something does not mean that we can remove it from the Bible. The Bible, in fact, is not something we sit in judgment on. It's something that sits in judgment on us. if we hold to the principle that the scriptures interpret themselves, then we will find the absolute center, the core of the story of the Bible is Jesus, the Kairos. We understand what the scriptures are telling us when we look to Christ and see in him the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and life everlasting offered to us through his only Son. When we see Christ at the center of the scriptures, it humbles us. We have a suffering Lord who loved us enough to take our sins and tell us that by his stripes we are healed. The divisions we humans have between us and God and between us and our fellow fallen creatures, say that three times, fellow fallen creatures, are reconciled, are brought together in Christ. We are people of the book, a book that tells us that God is love, that proclaims faith is the way to abundant and eternal life, not anything we must do or earn. That tells us we are one people, no matter who we are. And we are one because of whose we are. According to news reports, identity theft is on the rise in our day. I got a little taste of that this week, how it might begin, when the other day our admin assistant Vicky told me she got an email from Reverend Dr. Carl McDonald that said, "Urgent, where are you now? Call me as soon as possible, or get back to me as soon as possible." Of course, it wasn't from my email address, and it wasn't me that wrote to her, because I was in the room next to her at the time. She came over and asked me. I said, "Nope, not for me." And Bob Downs received the same email, so I wrote to him saying it was a phishing scheme, but the email I sent to him, I also said at the bottom, "This is the real me writing you." This is really me writing to you in this message. Well, listen again to the real Jesus in Hebrews 5. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He is high priest in the order of Melchizedek, who, like Jesus, did not inherit the priesthood, even though he was a son. He is at the center of the Bible. He is at the center of the church. He is in the center of our hearts and lives. He is this and so much more because he was designated by God. Amen. Our statement of faith is a little bit of a...